right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here at Miss Sade, singing good things to us. So, it's better than the first time, never. Got quite a bit to talk about. If you'd like to call in, 524-9510, 528-4181. Those are the two numbers. We had a change of numbers, but feel free to call in. And if we're talking about picnics and ants would be relevant, or flies would be relevant, mosquitoes. But if we're talking about steel mill, let's not talk about the rubber factory. Anyway, just kidding. I'm a little confused today as over the years, I've was under the impression that I was this and that, and some of this and some of that, as some of my friends here locally say, they're just poi, mixed up, you know. And so I did an Ancestry.com, and my gosh, I'm pretty much lost in the fog. I don't know which way to turn now. So just share with you. I don't know. I have a little bit of me says, well, do we believe this? And I hate like heck to read years later that it was just wasn't as accurate. But I hail from Italy and Greece and Togo and Mali and West Asian, amazing Syrian. So I don't know who the heck I am today, man. So this might be the Carol Cox Show. But anyway, I would encourage you to go out and get it. It makes for a good reason to learn to respect everybody and anybody. It would really be just that. And so let's see here. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
So now that you know that about yourself, how are you getting back?
I'm going to swim back, waiting to DACA.
You're not going to water, are you?
I'm just waiting until DACA is decided.
Sit back your arms in this part, what?
No,
you're right there.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I looked at that, and we knew we were all mixed up, you know.
Yeah, you're what, a mutt, huh?
A mutt. I mean, like the chicken said when she saw the scrambled egg, look at all those mixed up children.
Okay, so like I'm a German, and that's because of my mom, right?
Okay.
And then her parents are Prussian and Polish, the girl being Polish and the man being Prussian.
But who are you going to be?
Go
ahead, you say your mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my dad, his mom, and his dad, I guess, were stock and trade Connecticut Americans, descending from those families that came over to settle America.
Mm-hmm.
I guess closer to Massachusetts than that. But that was my question for you. How are you going to get back now that you know how to distribute yourself amongst your muttness like mine?
Well, actually, I can consider myself a world citizen. And because
yeah.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that, and so what the heck, you know. I have a right to be here. When the land bridge reappears, then maybe I'll walk back.
Do you feel native and indigenous to the universe like the rest of us, planet?
Yeah. Or of course, and I wish that everybody else would, then we'd know our place, right?
Yeah, we feel good everywhere we were.
Yeah, we would know that just any given day you can be, you have relatives somewhere else, and you have an attachment there, and it's not political, and it's, I think that's a nice thing about the dream that's being afforded by this, if it all is true. And we can trust it all. I think it will serve as a stitch of sort to stitch mankind or womankind back together again. You know, back to the Garden of Eden. Am I dreaming?
That Brexit stuff is kind of like a history repeating itself because the old Germans, they used to do certain things like being metric and maybe drive on the left side of the on the right hand side of the road, and they cook a certain way and they speak a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them broke out and went down to a place called England, called the Little Land in German. And they changed the food, they changed the language, and they changed the counting, and they changed the right side of the road they were on.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to what? Stop conflict? No, there's too much money in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those little elements that amongst us within our human race.
Come on, let's
race.
Go write some parking tickets.
Yeah.
Let's be a homeowners association and throw people out so they didn't make the houses look like candy canes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to take up your show no more. I'd like to hear more what you have on mind.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you. Aloha. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments. Hello? Going once, going twice. Bye-bye. Okay, yeah, that's make for an interesting topic if you're into who you are, where you're going, where you came from. It gives a little bit of, now I know why I crave hummus. I would have never thought that I was part Syrian or from that region, never. But then we're from somewhere, right? But back here in America, we're all Americans. We know that to be the truth. But sometimes there's reasons. Somebody find a reason to denounce or strip that person of that title for whatever reason. You hadn't been here long enough. You didn't sign the right green paper. You didn't come in on the. Your mother and father came here and then gave birth to you, and so therefore you're not welcome either. Maybe we'll get past that one day and understand that the globe itself, we talk about global economy, but we'll take the money, but we don't want you. That's what global economy means. We'll take your trade and your product, but we don't want you. We'll take your brains, the smart ones in the bunch, whatever that means, but we don't want you. So, strong message. But this recent thing with, and I will talk about some environmental things and a few things that I found. And Mr. Watson Okubo, he retired from the Clean Water branch at the Department of Health, and he left with a nice little document that he shared with me, and we'll talk about some of the problems that in his insight and some of the things he shared about clean water, wastewater, and what we are looking at and why we should be concerned with the environmental impacts that we see here. And we see them, and some of them go unnoticed or unaddressed, let's say. And then we'll talk about, if you have any comments on this this $2 million, $2.4 million, or whatever the amount is, if too much regardless, that we have lost to the HUD. They have to give it back. That's a shame, because we heard that a couple of years back also. The same thing repeated itself. Kind of strange. But what reminds me of is that the same mayor holds a seat. But you know what's really interesting? An observation that I've made here. Now, there's this great debate about Donald Trump and his following and his group, and that he's playing to his base, which is about 30%, they estimate. But there's such commonalities here with the state of Hawaii. And so while we are right to frown upon some of the things that Trump has been, but let's stay home for a moment and talk about this, what we call corruption. Yes, Hawaii's politics is corrupt. The state government is corrupt. The city government is corrupt. And you figure it from there. And even the federal system has its special gatekeepers that get appointed through the and being nominated to federal agencies, and they stay here because they will receive the blessings of the senators and what have you, the local ones. So it is corrupt. But what you try to look beyond that and say, what are the elements or what are the things that complement this corruption? I mean, corruption is a thing or a behavior. But in order to get it to work for you, certain things have to be in place. So Mr. Trump has a 30%, and we say he's playing to his base when he goes out and make irrational or make his statements, or he picks his places to change the narrative and all of that. But right here in Honolulu, in Hawaii, 30% of people vote. And And that 30%, the people that benefit from that, the same old guard that we say is corrupt, which they are corrupt, but one added element is that they are also relying and nurturing that 30% and never aggressively pursuing and trying to increase the number of voters that would participate in the voting process. Case in point, if you look to see how shoddy of a job the state campaign commission does. I mean, if you want to see something, you talk about it, if you can imagine a lame duck, try a lame group. Or I mean, these guys, they're so corrupt and so unconcerned with any ramifications or impacts on what they do or the public's impact or the public's ability to reach out and fire them and get rid of them. Remember, we had a great debacle with the elections, Nago, and during the Abercrombie period, and he kept his job. Well, you keep your job because if you don't try to move the ball further and increase the votership, then what you've done is basically you've nurtured the climate of the environment for the corrupt people to stay in government and never have to worry. That's why you can get a situation such as Colleen Hanabusa, who, if we had competition and if we had a healthy, vibrant voting bloc of more than 30%, I will assure you Colleen Hanabusa would struggle to get in, if she could at all, to get in any office, and she would be pleased and appreciative of being able to stay there, because there would be the likelihood of voting her out if she didn't perform. But with the 30% base, they nurture that. They make sure that 30% gets jobs. They make sure that 30% families get jobs. They make sure that that 30% is serviced because they get to name buildings and monuments and what have you after themselves. They are the ones who cause that. So imagine if we had more people voting. And then you ask yourself, but that seemed to be a simple process of going out and recruiting, or going out and increasing or advertising to people. Hey, when you buy a Wendy's hamburger or a McDonald's and you stop off in there, or you go and register your car, or you go, sign up and vote. Do something. Make that accessible to the people. Make voting accessible. But they don't do that because, you see, like the scorn that they give Donald Trump, is the same one that they have had in place and practiced for some while now. It'll never change. I can go out there and be as foolhardily motivated as anyone on this planet and continue to pull up this rug and look in this ditch and find chemicals and contaminants and all, and then run back to the health department and say, look, this is what I found, but this is what you should have been working to prevent anyway, and this is what you have the authority to regulate, but you don't, because the politicians in the 30% who's being served by the 30% don't want anything to happen. So everything is waived off. You don't get prosecutions. Contaminants, in some places, if you did half of what some of the people here do as it relates to the environment, you'd be a convict, really. You really would be. But for some reason, this 30% protection. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hello, Carol. How are you?
How are you? You have any comments for this?
Not really.
Okay, as we said, I know you're probably lonely and want to chat, but not on my time. So this 30% that we see here, we don't. And the thing is, ask yourself, why isn't the state legislators? And this is not a an effort to say to you we should change and then go vote for the Republicans. There's none of that. You can vote for you who you want to, but accept this as a thought. Why is it that we can't seem to increase the voting block or the voting pool or the number of people that vote when it could be made so simple, when there's a one-party majority, when they could make a rule and overnight, bam, and you'd have competition, you'd have a vibrant election process? Well, the reason you don't, it does not serve anybody outside of this 30% protective group that we see. And who are they? Well, you find your way in these groups by being of certain ethnic, certain money purpose, or certain business, or certain, but, you know, and when we see a city and county of Honolulu boldly stating that we lose this money because we didn't use it fast enough, you're not representing the people on the bottom. The people for housing. Today's paper says it spoke to about the anemic, I use that description, efforts to address the homelessness. How on earth can you justify having money in hand in federal grants and losing it because you don't use it, because, and you know you need it? It's clear when we drive the freeways with the overpasses, when we drive through the parks, on the bike path, on the you know, all of these things, people are homeless, having no place, and we, the 30%, tolerate this kind of failure. And we don't ask to see an aggressive effort on increasing the access to voting. And we have come to accept the lamest of excuses or explanation. In fact, I don't believe that we received a viable or rational explanation for the other debacles in our voting process in the previous years, recent years. And so, if you think that this is me just talking, it's an observation, but it warrants listening to or giving some thought to, because where we are now, how do you, and we've talked about this, I think, 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, on many occasions, about the water system, that one main line going into Waianae, going on the west coast, west side. And I think if I was Hanabusa, Colleen Hanabusa, and if I was Miley Shimabukuro, the serving, and if I was Andrea Tupolo, and if I was Cedric Gates, I would go and turn my badge in and just say, you know what, the world isn't ready for teenagers in politics who love the internet and does Facebook so well. The world needs someone here, the world we speak of it in the sense of why and I. The world we live in causes us to withdraw our names from the rolls because we can't very well, getting a crazy, nonsensical thing on Facebook and sitting there like you're a genius and the whole area is collapsing around you, you got a bridge that's going to nowhere for $1 million. In the entrance of Nanakuli, you have traffic. They had a road that they had planned, and a bypass or whatever you call it, and that the bottom fell out on that. So the critical things, when you're sitting in traffic for an hour, and then when you look and you see that at Coalina, we shared with you many occasions about that, right there at Coalina, we noticed, and just as you pass Coalina going to the west side, the road gets a little bumpier, a little more potholes. But Colleen lives in Colina, one of many homes that she has, I guess, or properties. And she now believes that she can go and run for governor. And And I saw the water rushing down the side of the mountain from the water main break, thinking, who on this planet would even think that they're worthy of another chance or a second chance? Who on their in their right mind would say that I'm going to run for office and then because I've done nothing? Everything they touch, the Contra Flow, the bypass road, the emergency road, and I shared with you way back with Hanabusa, we find that while they were negotiating with the road owner, who was company West Oahu Agri, those people that the bypass Parkair Road, a portion is owned by them, which will be relied. So Hanabusa was representing that party while also representing the people of the state of that district there to try and get a bypass. Now, how can you wear two hats? On one hand, you're negotiating on behalf of the people, and then you're representing the same party that has something of interest that you want them to either sell, lease, or agree to that you use road for emergency bypass. Colleen Hanabusa has been in Congress. People down below, they've learned to use Facebook. You turn on Facebook now, and there's Cedric Gates there. He's doing everything there is with his shepherd, Miley Shimabukuro, senator, I should say. And they're all they come along and they see, well, what is wrong with West Side now? What is wrong? Oh, I can let me attach my name to something that would resolve and solve the problems over here. And then you keep hearing them say, Coley Coley Pass. Well, Colleen was in Congress, and who better yet to be able to do that, to address that? She had direct access in Congress to try and get the Coley Coley Pass open, too. And I think she could have done that when Senator Danny Noy was here, because they all work hand in hand in their glove and hand in glove and what have you. Why couldn't they resolve that Coley Coley Pass issue and provide access and for emergency road? They're still stuck on what are we going to do? So this isn't about don't vote for Colleen Hanabusa. This is about how can you continually present yourselves as leaders when we have... they had the bypass road that the church decided to pull out that they thought, well, and then they say it'll take a couple more years at least to even get started. Then you have this water main break. Then you have the bridge at my Palaoa and many other issues. So, and don't mention the flooding and don't mention the dredging of the sands there and in the beaches and what have you. Don't mention the trash and the illegal cars and the dump cars, the drug use, and all of that. Don't mention that. So don't mention the right there at the entrance of Makua across the street. There are unexploded ordinances presenting themselves on many occasions. And then they've had one they found out in the ocean there and blew it up in place, and no one knows what really transpired there, but, you know, nobody did an assessment. So when you have all of this, and you... One situation I pulled up, and I didn't bring the document with me, but someone wanted to raise coconuts at Makua, on the beach, somewhere in that area, and... it was destined for, if I'm not mistaken, a gentleman named Anthony, and I'm still in the preliminary looking at this, but I pull up the bill, and I apologize for not bringing it with me. Maybe I have it in my bag. But a relative, I'm told, or a stepbrother of Shimabukuro was interested in having that, and some $70,000 or some upwards of some money of that type. So, Waianae, the West Side, your problem isn't that you don't have representation. Your problem is that the people who who are, you've chosen to represent you don't represent you, don't know how to represent you. They still have their training wheels on. And that's the 30%, see, because they're playing to that 30% voting block. So that's why you should, if you really want to stop corruption in this state and take the ball back, so to speak, all you got to do is look at your neighbors and ask them, are you registered to vote? If you're not, let's register to vote. Each one of you should, if you are a registered voter, adopt your neighbor, your friends, who's of voting age, and vote. Now, that's what Cedric Gates boasts about, being able to having the ability to run out and get votes and register people to vote. It worked for him. So it would work for you as well. But with the 30%, this is why when you call to the state office or the city office and you file a complaint about something, anything, and you get no results, that result, they know by the numbers, by the voting block, they know. They don't have to really, they can ignore you. They could blow you off, so to speak. They could just don't pay attention. Answer your phone and hold the phone away from their ear and say, yeah, okay, thank you, we'll take care of it. And then 3 years later, you're still stuck with the same problem. That's because they know from the voting books, and they know from all of the numbers that they've assembled and put together, that you're not going to vote. So therefore, they don't have to worry about pissing you off or failing you or not, or short serving you or not serving you at all. They don't have to worry about that, because you're going to have your problems, you're going to know how to call them, but you're not going to vote. So they look at that, and I can appreciate why the people that abuse that 30% or play in that realm, why they see it beneficial. Why would you spend energy on someone that's not going to vote? It's a telltale sign. It's a dead giveaway. I don't have to worry. I have to worry about the people that vote. So when I go to Makiki, go to Kaimuki, Hawaii Kai, in those areas that have strong representation, where they're citizens, participate and vote. That's who Kurt Caldwell will pick up the phone and say, hey, Ross Sussamore, you need to get your butt out there and send a truck out there and clean that trash up along the Leaky Leaky or wherever, where the voting block is. That's where I get a bulk of my votes. Get out there, do this, right? That's how the game's played. Meantime, Waianae has a main water main breakage, one main pipe going in, and if you think that that's a problem, that's just basically to get your attention. Guys, you need to do something. And then there was this complaint that, or a statement, a revelation that they left the pipes out in the sun. Well, I mean, who are we hiring in these positions? Once again, the sons, the brothers, the uncles, the cousins of the 30%ers. And if you don't think that I'm accurate in my assessment here of what I'm representing, just ask yourself, how often do you call and get nothing done? Why can't you see a major prosecution of people illegal dumping chemicals and cars and all of that and setting fires to cars along the roadways? Why can't you get an aggressive... We have policemen. We have city workers that are capable of looking at things and documenting and making evidence. But why don't they? So they walk away and say, well... You know, all they have to worry about, and this is not a dig on any of you in Waianae, but my assessment and observation is all that Caldwell, Kimberly Pine, and any Miley Bay, and now to name Cedric Gates. All they have to worry about, I'm a little worried, is that they may show up on Facebook. But when it comes to the election booth, they don't have to worry. So that's why I say Facebook is great if you just want a casual, but when you're looking at the bigger picture and putting a stop to this abuse and this rot of government rot, you got to do something, folks. You got to do some drastic changes, and that drastic change is standing up and voting. You have the same greater population practically, and you have money, and you have property, and you're being taxed, and all of that. So you should come out and vote and make sure that you protect what it is that they're taxing, and you protect your children's interests, your children's future, and your future. But it's mind-boggling that, for example, the Voice of America, the radio site that the Coast Guard has ownership of now, but the Navy had it, and PCBs laid up there, and I don't know if they've cleaned them all up now, but PCBs in large quantities, saturating the soil and staining the cements and the structures, and they build homes there, and nobody made a word. Not your congressman, not your senators, not your state representative, not even your city council. Because they don't have to worry about you. They just know that as long as a 30% number does not increase in the participation of voters in the population, they don't have to worry about you. They don't, I mean, it's cool, you know, to show up there and talk about it and to share with you how you're viewed and how this 30% factor comes in with the corrupt, one-sided government. Remember the dredge materials from Hawaii Kai Marina? That's a private industry, a private company, private ownership with people owning it, these properties and all of that. And they took their crap and put it on a truck and drove it down the freeway and dumping it in your side of the town. And then to add insult to injury, you're told by the people who's generating this stuff, hey, it's good for growing things. Well, then if it's good for growing things, keep it. Don't give it away to us. We don't need it. But the long story short is that Kimberly Pine was going to do something, and it was going to be used for agriculture. And what it is and was is an illegal dumping of waste. You had stains and chemicals from boat oils and motors and pesticides from runoff on the lawns and the houses and all of that in that area that drains into the marina. And in turn, you were getting in your backyard until I intervened and went out there and said that this is wrong and did a TV story on it. But your 30% home guards, your state representative, state senator, Miley Shimabukuro, and your city council, Kimberly Pine, said it was great. It was going to be used for agriculture. And today, it still sits in the channel, in the stream. And to add insult to injury, some portions of it was being dumped or draining down or shifting down to Hawaiian homeland. So, it's a big package here, folks. And I offer that, what I've just said to you about Colleen, and please don't go away getting mad with me. because I'm going to share you my thoughts, or you can turn the radio off or don't listen to the station. It's okay, because I don't have to sit in traffic just normal time at a certain time in the evening to get home, because they couldn't, our representative couldn't find their bearings and be guided. Instead of putting $1 million bridge going nowhere, they could have put money in toward building a lane or a different lane or some traffic calming devices or something, or increasing the number of buses that would serve something to complement the hardship or to relieve you of the hardship. So, you know, I understand. The Star Advertiser says here that fix city's dismal homeless efforts. Really? There's that 30% again. Kurt Caldwell don't have to figure out anything about fixing anything, as long as he's playing to the guys and girls with money and the guys and girls that vote. So while it is soothing to sit back and say, man, you know, these guys are corrupt, and, you know, they just want something for nothing, and this and that, and, you know, no. This is a very skillful game. Poker don't even rise to this level. When a person can stand there and say, vote for me and I'm going to solve your problems, and then get in, don't solve your problem, but complicate them. And if you look at some of the video, I thought it was so much of a perfect setting. Sometimes if you just sit back and look at a photograph, and you can see things, and you won't get the big picture, but you'll see the picture. So as this water is flowing down the mountain, down the south, off the highway, across and out of its broken pipe into the ocean, if you look closely, if you have access to that, look at the people that are down at the edge of the ocean. Hey, they are homeless brothers and sisters, families that could have benefited from a more stringent, more healthy, more vibrant policy to fix and address homelessness. But instead, you see the water main break, and then you see the people. Just take a look. If you have access to that video, just look and you'll see those people, and you'll even see some tents there. So the double whammy. And I express myself this way to say to you, I love the people in Waianae. I see me when I see them. I feel them. I'm empathetic with them. I'm in their place. And I have a mouth that likes to talk, and I'm telling you right now, you can change this entire process. You can change and make sure things are, your share of the budget and your share of the administrative efforts come to you in a package that's usable, that's friendly, that's viable and productive. And it all hinges on, I mean, it's scary. It hinges on one simple act. And that's for you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I heard somewhere one man, one woman, one vote. It used to be different. But now we can all vote. So we're critical of the Republicans, and we demonize them for changing the rules and voting and changing the process and making it a little more difficult and hoops to jump through. But see, the corrupt 30% group here in Honolulu, in Hawaii, don't rely on that. They just look at the numbers and then they draw the conclusion. Look, over here, we don't have to throw much money. All we need to do is show up come election time. There might be a few that stray out of the fence and not vote for us, but voting the line. And then they have the union, which is strongly represented. Many of the men that work out there work for a union, and they vote. But they don't want, none of them want to see you go out and vote, because if you start voting, you outnumber them. And then your voices will be heard. And then you will likely be able to get in your car or get on a bus that is timely and arrives and deliver you to your location, and won't have that death alley that you have to navigate through. You see, people get killed out there left and right. People, I heard someone say, oh, well, you know, they drink and drive ahead on. You put that much traffic, 30-some thousand cars a day go over the Maipalo'oa Bridge, and it's a very small bridge. Take that seven times, probably increases a little more on weekends because you have parties and people touring and what have you. But add those up, and you are likely to have the increased number of car accidents mixing in with a few wild drivers, pedestrians not attentive, or the drivers not attentive. And I'm saying to you, Waianae, Westside, I love you dearly. My heart aches for you, because this is an American system that has gone wild, and it all has been tricked. And so while you turn on the TV and you see them, they're slamming the Democrats as well, Nancy Pelosi and all those people, why don't you think that they would be getting aggressive and seeing that the voter participation here in Hawaii? I mean, you know, they're Democrats. Because they know as long as they control that 30%, they stand to benefit. They don't want a wild stallion. They want a tame monkey who do tricks and don't show up to vote and just mild-mannered. And that's what they see you as, to be manipulated. Throw a little money at you and then tell you, we're working on your problems. So, fix city's dismal homeless efforts. Fix Hawaii's dismal and homeless voting participation. And I would say the former or the mayor over there at Kauai, there's all kinds of people. I was trying to find the document or the article where it says that Colleen and Ige are going to hammer it out. And, you know, it's a funny thing. You try and write David Ige and see what you get. Try to call his office and see what you get. But you turn on your internet, there's David Ige for governor movement already. But you can't talk to David Ige because you're not in the 30%. So imagine, he and Colleen's going to be hammering it out over the 30%. Because they don't have to reach out. So why don't we surprise them? And if you don't know how to vote or want to know how to vote, give me a call. Send me an email. And I can walk you through it, how to register. And it's only one little vote. But my God, man, when you feel that the joy of voting, like you have some say, it sends a strong message. Tell you, if you don't believe me, when I was young, we'd go chopping cotton, $3 a day, out in the hot sun. So hot, monkeys would be wearing tuxedos. It's so damn hot. and you're drinking a little water, and you can't take your own food. You have to buy the food on the truck. But you were making $3. And you got there before the light, the sun came up, and you made it home. And when those young folk from the north came down, the Freedom Riders, you've heard of those, and taught us how to protest and taught us that it was okay to walk out of the field and leave your holes there and just walk out. Let them chop their own damn cotton. And then learn how to vote as you get older, and recruiting older blacks in the community to vote had a major change. See, I'm suggesting to you something that I know that worked. Something as simple as saying, I can't come to work every day in the fields. And then, when am I going to have a day off to go and vote? And then they would set up the voting in a certain way that you wouldn't be able to go. So the heck with all of that, and we'll take upon ourselves and deliver ourselves to the voting polls. You're learning to register. So for some of you guys out there that like to hammer away at the Jewish population, and you don't, and I've heard so much hatred about the Jews lately, let me just tell you, young Jewish men and women came to Mississippi, and others came to Mississippi, put their neck and their life on the line so that me and other blacks and other Americans could benefit from a society that treated us with respect and paid us fairly. So, not preaching to you, but one water main, one pipe going in, and the road, one road in, one road out, and a bridge to nowhere for $1 million, and your people are going to run office again, in fact, choose which office they want to go. How casual. I'd like to hear you say, no, not on this occasion, Colleen. We need you to show us some, deliver something, some goods. Not the rail, but deliver us some goods. We'll be back in the next hour. This is Carol Cox, The Carol Cox Show. Go to carolcox.com and also go to Olelo Channel 54 at Sundays at 1 o'clock. And you can see me also on ThinkTech Hawaii at thinktechhawaii.com. And we'll be talking and walking. We'll see you shortly. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here in Hawaii. And they've got quite a bit of fog out there, but then any day in Hawaii is awesome. So no complaints here. Fog, a little bit of smog, a little rain, still no problem. And 524-9510, 524-9510, and 528-4181 is the number you can call if you have a comment. You don't like what I'm saying, then add your two cents in and straighten me up. Show me the way. Anyway, that was Bernard Carvalho. I keep saying the mayor of Kauai, I'm not soliciting for him, never spoke to the man. But I understand he might be interested in running too. So maybe if it brought a little new blood there and see if he will bring some more people to vote, hey, give him a look at. Give him a glance. Maybe Kauai can bring us some new blood here, new thoughts. And I mean, it'd probably be the same old strategy, you know, and you get in, you name all the senators who got to, you know, play games and what have you, but at least it's a new start. So, anyway, this thing with Kaepernick and Donald Trump, he seemed to have inserted himself there. In America, I just got to tell you, I have gone to parties where they start off being the best thing you've ever attended, and then the booze start to flow, and the people become insensitive, and they forgot that the people they arrive with is their family members and their cousins, and the person that's throwing the party, it's their grandmother who is being honored and what have you. We just forget, and so we get caught up in the language and the throwbacks and start slinging words, but I have a little insight for you. Now, no doubt, I'm going to cave into this one and say, Yeah, it is about the American flag, not about racism, you know, because that's just a word. It's I ain't a racist. You can ask my wife. Okay. So everybody's been out of shape now that these black men, and even now some whites, are joining in and holding hands and embracing and kneeling and sharing that. And then you say, well, that ain't right. They supposed to be working for their living, and they making too much damn money anyway. You know, so you know, now the party's getting really started, and the corks are popping, and everybody's getting stupid. You know, but they forget they're still, it was a family gathering, but this is about America. You have a right to speak out. You may not agree with that, but whether you agree or not, you have a right to speech, freedom of speech. And if the people there in the stadium, I mean, these are the same people that sit in 19 below zero to see somebody throw pigskin around and pat one another on the ass every day and, you know, and say, yeah, you know, and get flipped and turned and concussions. And yeah, I don't expect much a sympathy out of people that find entertainment in that. That's, you know, and boast about sitting on ice benches. You know, I'm no issue with me. But I do have an observation. Now, Mr. Trump, the president of these United States, which I love dearly, says, not Mr. Trump, but the United States. And he's now making it's about the flag, and it's about honoring the flag and not honoring the flag, and it's about the Pledge of Allegiance and when the national anthem is played. Boy, isn't that funny? But why don't you, just for a moment, stop and forget all that you know and ask this question. If it's about the flag, then Donald Trump is right. Our American flag, she waves so beautiful and she stands so strong, and when you see it, sometimes it makes you just bubble all inside. So no problem with that. And it's a beautiful thing. And what it stands for. That's the American flag, the stars and stripes, red, white, and blue. And you're a candidate for the president of these United States, a place that we all love. And if you don't love it, then you're in the wrong damn place anyway. She is a beautiful place. Beautiful, 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 beautiful place. So Mr. Trump is seeing this now as men kneeling on the ground, and this is the same Donald Trump is advocate pushing people's head down when they're being arrested and bumping their heads when they're being arrested. You know, that little comment off flippant remark that he made before the gathering of all the police chiefs and whatever representatives of various law enforcement. No problem. But it's about the flag. And we all should hold the flag dearly, and we should cherish it, and we should honor it at all times and protect it. But I'm posting something up on my website today that will show you that this is when America come to the fork in the road, and then one says racist, and the other one says American. And many of us seem to have a hard time. We know what racism is, but we take that right anyway. We take that R route. And then we don't care how we say it and how we say in comparison what the football players are doing wrong, because they're dishonoring the flag and the national anthem and what have you. Well, I'm posting up a picture, and it was taken by Tina Quizon in Charlotte, North Carolina, in 2016 of August, where while Mr. Trump is at his campaign speaking, with the backdrop being the American flag, and he's on a roll, in the audience is people holding the Confederate flag, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Didn't say one nation under two flags. So why is it? Are these the SOBs? that are holding this Confederate flag up? Are they their mothers, the bees that he refers to? So, America, you need to get it straight if you want to claim that we're not. It's not about racism. It's about I pay my money to go there and see. Well, yeah, but if they start to put gas and tear gas or try to start shooting all the players, you think that they shouldn't object because you paid your money? Why don't you just ask for a refund? But instead, no, you believe it's your right to tell people that they cannot exercise their rights in the workplace while the Supreme Court already has many times over and over ruled in favor of people in the free speech in the workplace. Un-American. You're taking the right lane and you're getting off on the turn that says racism. I don't care what the media tell you. I don't care. It's racism. It's racism. It's racism. If you are willing to listen to Donald Trump talk about how we demean and deride the flag and take it and disrespect the flag and the national anthem by kneeling, then he tolerate and encourage and make while proclaiming making America better, taking back America. You'll see on the picture there's two young men in, and Donald Trump is in the same stadium giving his speech through the day, and not a single person amongst you out there that think that black men want to express themselves and speak out. It's their right. It's not your right. You don't like it, then don't go to the games. But then what else would you do? Go to NASCAR? I mean, you should be shocked when we learned that NASCAR was consuming. There was monies of question as to how much money the government was spending at NASCAR. But you don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with putting the Confederate flag on the same pedestal as the American flag. But yet you deride or you cry foul when the black men are protesting and expressing themselves. See, that's something you got to learn, that you pay someone, you don't own them. They are not your slaves mentally. You don't like it, go ask for your money back. Just go up to the counter and say, look, I came to see a football game. I didn't come to see the halftime show or the pregame show. That's an issue you have a right to exercise. But you don't have a right to tell people, black men and black people, to say, well, you know, we'll tell you how to protest. And that's what it is. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's tough. That's a perspective that you need to hear from others. And if you're willing and is not shocked that this president would allow under the same roof, in the same voice, in the same speech, the American flag be tarnished and be held in the same room as a Confederate flag. One is just absolutely, it affords us all an opportunity, and I love that picture. And as I say, it'll be up at carolcox.com. I'll post it on Facebook. But the point is, go take a hike. I mean, you know, we see those people on TV, and many of the media have also added to this. You take the Puerto Rican thing. Well, Mr. Trump struck back. What do you mean he struck back? Isn't he the president of these United States and supposed to be able to take tough words and talk tough and walk tall and carry a big stick? Or is it just that it doesn't matter, he cries over straws? And the straw that breaks the camel's back is the way he's treating North Korea. You know, you can't go around exercising your rights and your power and your might because people are of a different ilk, whether they're brown, yellow, red, white, or blue, whatever your Mr. Trump, you and your supporters have to understand, it's not going to go away, whether you like it or not, whether you take the narrative and try to steer it somewhere else. We still have a problem with racism in this country. And it gets exacerbated or amplified when you, the leader of this free nation, go out and encourage people to attack that on some cockamamie strategy that you, because you got your butt in a bind, because you might be going to jail or it questions you, you're giving treason. But black men on their knees, you know, where are you people there, the 30% of them support you? Why aren't you crying out on that? But no, that's fake news. But black men on their knees saying, stop shooting me. When I don't need to die when I make a wrong turn them parking, or don't make a violation at all, and I still end up being shot. Stop it. You would think, but no, the arrogance and the superior attitude that you have had and the freedom you've had for so many years, and people, you know, you started off with this, well, we don't use the N-word. Well, no, you don't, because you have a greater tactic. You have a greater strategy. You assault and attack everything that's black. You start off with Michael Jackson, all anything that's black. We have this regimen of people that in the conservative media, and then the liberal media who fail to speak up, and the people in Puerto Rico suffering. And we know what that is. Mr. Trump is being petty. And you can't separate it, or you don't have a desire to separate it because it complements your mindset. At some point, we're going to have to work together, or else it just... But these are good times. When you see the President of the United States stands up and behave in a racist fashion and behave as a separate nation of people than the whole of U.S., then something's wrong. Caller, go ahead with your comments or questions.
Good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'd like to share something you that can erase racism to have a more objective view on the subject of love.
Okay.
Every child that lives under the Hawaiian sun to have an objective viewpoint of love. Of course, our heritage, which is our own ethnical race and our own family, is our most intimate love that we have. But having this objective view of love for all children, every race, under the Hawaiian sun, will give you a much more clarity when you look at life here in Hawaii, having mm-hmm. this objective love for all children, all peoples mm-hmm. in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of nature tell us that our heritage is important to us, our immediate family. That is where the intimate love is.
Mm-hmm.
But by having this love for all children under the Hawaiian sun climate, will make you more objective and more coherent to peace mm-hmm. and unity.
Okay.
Mr. Carol Cox, this is Glenn from Kaka'ako.
Right. Well,
I'll make the comments over the phone. I'm listening to you on the radio.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling in, because I had one document here that I was going to share in talking about politics and treatment of people and love of people. And doing research about the subject that I wanted to talk, another subject here, is that you familiar with the Kapalama container facility there in Kapalama on Sand Island, at the entrance of Sand Island?
Kapalama? No. I thought Sand Island. Where? I don't know where. I'm not from this island.
Oh, okay.
So
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I wanted to mention something, Mr. Gal Cox. I think it was the House Speaker of Congress asked President Donald Trump to sign a resolution to be impartial with regarding to race. I think it was, what's his name? He asked Donald Trump to sign a resolution to be impartial to race, and Donald Trump said he would sign that resolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just share with you what I began. This is about the section, the historic land use. I'm researching the Copa Llama Container Yard, that they're going to build a massive facility out there on Sand Island, an international shipping office and building and operations. And I got to this point, the historic land use, the United States Geological Survey maps prepared by the Department of Engineering, Territory of Hawaii, during the 1927 through 1928, show two fish ponds in the project area, the Aoiki fish pond and the Ana Noho fish pond. These fish ponds have been since been filled in some areas of the site by the municipal dump. Now, let me make sure I'm clear about this. You see, calling names and being critical of one for not kneeling or standing, I see that as racist behavior. But what's more evil than that is to destroy an entire culture of Hawaiian people by coming along and disrespecting and degrading their quality of life, their way of life, right? And filling in fish ponds. And today on this island, there are people that are trying to operate a fish pond, but they can't even get the cooperation. So, well, whether you call the person an N-word or you do something to just deface any remnants or destroy any remnants of their heritage and of their way of life, which is worse? Seem to accomplish the same job, right? You can love all kids under the Hawaiian sun, but we better tell the people, the military and the others that come here, that enough is enough, or we need to love one another, or do something. You follow?
Yes.
So it's a very painful thing to, when you're reading through these documents, is, wait, now how on earth can you destroy a fish pond? That is where people, the nutrients and the foods and the stability in the community and what have you. And now they can go to Safeway or go to some other grocery store and buy it. So, you know, my problem with someone being criticized about kneeling is pale in comparison to what is being the devastation of the acts of hatred. That's what it is. Just annihilate, wipe out the whole Hawaiian culture, any remnants of it. You follow?
Yes, sir.
So that, for me, I had to put that document down for a bit, and because it's like, wow, how destructive can you get? So we teach them the hula and we teach them to dance, but we don't, the land, and then it talks about the contaminations that's in the land at this site that was used by the military. And so the question here would be, well, they wouldn't do this in Beverly Hills. They wouldn't do this in some other community that is not minority or people of color or native people. You follow?
Isn't there some kind of meeting before, you know, the land commission where they develop an environmental impact statement and the property, the proper parties involved meet there and they discuss the issue before they create the environmental impact statement?
Well,
when they redevelop the area?
Here's something I've come to learn over the years. The one way you can annihilate people and their culture and erase their culture is by going through this process, which is a fallacy, which is a big lie, about the environmental reviews. Because ultimately, they have their eyes set on this project and this land. And they, the environmental impact reports or statements don't really prevent you from building. It just says that we did a cursory look over it. Because, yes, it's contaminated, but we don't believe that it will is contaminated levels that will harm anyone or human health or the environment. So it's one big lie, and it's one big way of robbing. It's a tool. It's an implement of robbing, mostly in this state, Native people of their land, Native people of their culture. Because, but they'll cite now. They'll say, "Oh yeah, well we had someone to come out and bless the site in a Hawaiian manner, but you took the site and should have left it alone, burying these fish ponds and covering them up." Is absolute. You go to by Radford High School there. There's that area there. There was fish ponds in there. They buried them, trained them. So. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
Well, like you mentioned a few months ago about on Kauai, they try to build a dairy, and they mentioned about the runoff that would cause all kind of environmental disaster consequences on the shoreline and along the going down to the beach, and then. There's another situation. Let me recall that. What other? There was another case in that same situation, like on the Big Island.
Big Island dairy.
Obama, he's polluting the ocean there too. And and even with the case, you know, that Monsanto, they said that there's no detrimental effect from the use of the herbicide, and now we see commercials saying that Roundup is a possibility that can cause tumors and cancers. So it's all being revealed that there is bad consequences to what people in power and money want to do, and they cannot get away from it.
Right.
You know, all their claims that it's much more of a benefit to our community than it's bad to our community.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of Syngenta, once again, you touch on something that I was going to add into this conversation today, but I'll do it now. The Syngenta, here's a letter dated November 2nd, 2016. So the state assures us, and this goes back to my earlier statements, you can't trust anything the state says or trust their, quote, regulatory, or you can't trust the EPA because big money is what rules, and little people don't. And so they see us, as all of us, as little people. But here's a subject. Tier 1 to the state of Hawaii Department of Health, Hazardous Evaluation and Emergency Response. In accordance to accordance with the Hawaii Revised Statute, HRS 311 and blah, 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 Hawaii Chemical Inventory, HCIF, Syngenta acknowledged that the Tier 2 HCIF is due annually every March for reporting on the prior calendar year as required under the Hawaii Emergency Planning and Community Rights. And it goes on to say, Syngenta stores propane fuel on its site and has only recently become aware that the storage amount had exceeded the 10,000-pound threshold quality TQ for storing propane on the site during the 2015 year. While reviewing Hawaii gas delivery receipts, Syngenta became aware of this TQ exceedance in March and in April of 2015 with three propane deliveries. Propane storage remained below the TQ. So I offer that is that the state, we can't trust them. And the propane, I don't know what they use of propane for, but imagine the potential if they say you can only store a certain number of gallons or pounds, then why are they able to accidentally store more?
I don't know.
Yeah, so, but what I've learned is that what you have here is the state health department is an arm of the military. It's an arm of people that want to take these resources, these lands, and they do it by engaging in this process called environmental review, environmental assessments, and in turn, they know the outcome that they seek. But to cover their legal butts, they do that. And all that you have an argument with is, well, you didn't do this portion, but still yet, it does not throw the entire thing on the ground, and that does not mean they can't come back and resubmit. So it has little to do with people kneeling down for the flag or the national anthem, but it has a lot of common elements in that it's what's happening to Native people, brown-skinned people, and when you object, then you'll become demonized or criminalized and then incarcerated because you went across the line and protested or did whatever. Isn't that sounds like America is fleshing itself out, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Sounds like it's exposing the inner illnesses, the illnesses that we can't see or detect. We see remnants of them or little hints, but what is really going on? And the EPA is just that. Look at what happened in Lansing and Detroit, Michigan. People drinking poison water. EPA is there on the site, right? You look at the reports. The reports are written in such a fashion you'd have to have 5 PhDs to understand any of it.
Okay, thank you for talking to. I can talk to you today, Mr. Carroll.
All righty, my friend. Thank you. Aloha.
Bye.
Aloha. Yeah, this is something, and you know, one thing about it, it's nice. I listen to a lot of people talking on shows, and they get it right. I mean, they start off with ugliness and nastiness, and the discussion could be another black man shot in the head for just carrying a concealed weapon that he has a license for. But whites don't get gunned down for carrying a concealed weapon. In other words, in one instance or a couple where black men have said, I have a concealed permit, I have a gun, and they end up dead. Now, I know you're probably going to say it's something in our genes that when it comes to black men and guns, and you know, we don't know how to hold them right. But let me tell you, take a look back. Don't take my word for it. And just look at the number of policemen when they flock around and stepping on people's head and faces. And look at the composition, the racial composition of those squads that are involved in those activities. Now, it's about time that we speak for ourselves. I have a law enforcement background. And the reality is that people in law enforcement are people. They're human beings. They have their problems. They have, in fact, they have their spousal abuses and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it, like normal human beings. But to deny it and then to be a judge and sit and listen to it and then find them not guilty, you've devalued black people's lives to nothing. You've said we have no value. Our life is not of any concern to you. And it's just it's a car being driven. He's not trying to overthrow the government. He's not stealing emails and sharing them with the Russians. He's not trying to undermine the government. He made a left turn, or maybe he didn't make a left turn. I've had people to tell me that worked in law enforcement, hey, if things, we want to pull you over, we just pull you over. My buddy goes to the back and tap on the light, crack it, pull you over for a cracked tail light. Can't dispute that. It's there, it's cracked. But it wasn't cracked before you pulled them over. See, many of these things are manufactured and easily manufactured. And if you got a court system that will allow you to be found not guilty over and over and over again, who's going to question whether his turn signal worked or whether he flipped his turn signal or what? But I'm trying to tell you in the simplest form and fashion, it's not your business to tell us how we can protest It's not your business to tell us that we should respect the flag when we do respect the flag, and you're making a spectacle of it because whatever you say go. It doesn't matter what the reality is, but whatever you say, that is a statement there. What you say matters. What we say does not matter. And I can tell you what I feel, and many other people, I'm sure, I venture to say that they'll continue, whether you boo-hoo or boo them out of the stadium. You must understand when people and their rights are violated, and when any one of those men, when they got their uniform on, the kids, those very parents are standing there, if the football player gave him his shoe, oh, can you autograph this? And, oh, I got a shoe from Kaepernick. You know, my son got a, it's sitting in the on the mantle on the, you know, it added in his collection. But when Kaepernick decided to stand up and speak out on behalf of many other people, you don't like him. He's a rowdy Negro. He's a Nat Turner. When all he did was to say, stop killing us. Stop shooting us. Stop murdering us. That's all this conversation is about. It's not about love of the flag, love of the nation. I haven't met a black person yet that didn't love America. Now, there may be out there, but I've not met one. Never. My uncles and cousins and fathers who served in the war, driving beans and rations and bullets, tanks and what have you, fighting in Korea, fighting in the Japanese War, and then someone comes along and take a knee on the ground, you don't like it. That's white supremacy there, when you get in the minds and you don't even have the sensitivity to recognize that some people have different ways of expressing themselves, and it's not your business to tell them what they and how they can protest. So, that's the way it is, folks. You're not going to hear probably from anybody else because we have a political position. We want to be nice about it. But the reality is, if you had some sincere people that trusted you, they tell you, I'm deathly afraid to drive. I'll be pulled over and the courts ain't going to support me or they're not going to back me. The law enforcement shooting people is out of control. It's out of hand. We did have a Justice Department to do that, but you get no comfort. You know, I'm sure that Kaepernick and the others that are protesting or expressing themselves would never even think of that. Doing that. If they saw a courthouse or judicial system that didn't unbutton each cop that's accused of killing someone wrongfully. Either we are, as black people, we're an evil, evil entity, and everything we do, everybody that's been shot is just evil. Or the system is broken. Or the system has just modified itself. Instead of lynching any longer, you can't do that because, you know, you don't want to shock the hearts and the souls of people, the foundation of their thoughts and their Christian ways. But it's a little easier, too, rather than lynch someone. You can just shoot them. That seems to be the play of the day. Shoot him. Court's going to back you up. He's just a black person. The life is cheapened. So my nephews and nieces, and it's not limited to black men. Women are found dead too and killed. So whether you agree with me or don't like the tone of this, It doesn't matter. We have stood by so long and had you take the sting out of the racism by saying, oh, we don't use the N-word, but meantime, you're not hiring, you're firing, you're harassing, you're shooting, you're killing us, you're incarcerating us for things that you dare not incarcerate other people for. You give them a little ticket or a warning or drive them home. So, new age, new way, new time, and just let people, if you don't like what they're saying, it'll blow over. People will get the message, and then in turn, we will see a change. Sessions is implementing rules that is not conducive to the welcome wagon for people of color. Even voting strategies. So don't hang your hat on these guys that are just kneeling. Turn and ask yourself, why is it that they are not angry, unhappy with what is going on? Why are they making these claims? Maybe I should, rather than dismissing them and telling them how they should react, maybe I should, if in all honesty and being fair, if I gave her who, but if I just want to make more trouble for them and show my disrespect, I'll just be flipping and just say whatever I want to say, and I'm going to burn my shirt up, and I'm not going to have any more collection. I got a collection of football shoes and football autographs. I'm going to destroy them. That's my statement to the NFL and the black guys that are protesting. Hey, go for it. You know, if you burn yours, that means mine is going to be a little more valuable because there'll be less to be marketed. I like it. Keep burning. So, you know, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to smile all the way to the bank, sell my helmets and my football and my cards because you burnt yours. So the scarcity drives up the price. Imagine that? I like it. So anyway, someone called and they hung up. I guess they were quite eager to tell me something. But call back if you like to, 524-9510 and 528-4181. Yeah, this is the way it is, my friends, and everything's fine, and, you know, you're just seeing a repeated, all these things have been said before, just a different circumstance. Thank you, caller, go ahead.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Now, can I be a white supremacist in this planet and want to take over the solar system and the galaxy, and then let support our efforts towards the universe? Can I gain your support?
Yeah.
Please?
Yep. I mean, we're interfering with everybody. This new government that represents, I thought we were making some great lengths and learning human respect and being respectful of others and transgenders and people of color and all, and it seemed like we hit a wall.
Well, us deplorables want to lead you to a future of spacecraft that shake the Big Island so much you get extra volcanic action.
Yeah, but would I be able to ride in the front or on the spaceship, or would I be able to ride in the back? I need to establish that before I agree with this total trip.
We'll have to pick that up from the Geneva Convention.
No, you can just, can't you just invite me up, sit in the front seat, and introduce me as the co-pilot or the pilot?
Well, yeah, we'll probably get you going there as a navigator.
Okay.
And you'll be the one with the weapon.
Right. You know, I was actually, I was invited above the research vessel one time, and I thought I was going to be doing real good, you know. I thought, what a prestigious thing, you know. And you know what they called me?
No.
Jock Custodian.
Oh, cool.
So anyway, It all depends on who's going to start the respect, right?
You know, this color being white, if everything's about the same and relative in the universe, we're not even natural to it because we get sunburn up there in the corn belts, and I don't know, we probably get burned in the Arctic. And equatorially, we're baking, you know.
Yeah.
White people don't belong on the surface of the earth.
Well, see, now that's dead wrong. Let me stop you right there. No.
Okay.
But here's the reality. We have to be careful in using such terms as white people because, as I tried to illustrate to you, the freedom riders that came to Mississippi imparted knowledge on us and recruited us and showed us the way of how to vote and do all of that, right?
Can't hear him, Rick.
You follow?
No, Rick was talking.
So I'm always reluctant and will not lend myself to that kind of description to say white people because it's only a small percentage of people that do stupid things. And if we're going to label all whites as being racist, then we have a problem like the ones that we're trying to target and then fair enough.
No.
You understand?
We white supremacists want endangered species status.
What's that?
We want endangered species status.
Who is that?
Us white supremacists.
Oh, well, the supremacy, I mean, if you want to call yourself that, then you're probably going to have a problem with many of the people. But I would beg anyone, don't ever label and come out and say all white people, because that would be the stupidest thing. That would be just the reverse of what we're fighting.
Isn't white supremacist just stupid, just by it on its own?
Well, no, because you don't know.
Don't people just naturally know they're equal?
You don't know how to respect others. I mean, leave them alone. If the person is an individual, is an individual. Right? But
I just don't know why people can't see themselves as equal.
I just can't. I can't bring myself to growing up and becoming an adult and learning how to burn houses on the sheets.
Oh, what was that? The Civil War?
What Civil War? Where?
They were burning houses without shoes.
Well, no. They were burning houses even to recent times. They've burned many of people out. There's a lot of people from the South that were chased out.
Chased out of the South, were they?
Yeah. So
who came in?
Didn't no one come in. They just stayed there and went to church and said amen. So are you saying you are a white supremacist?
No, I just thought I'd play the part for a minute because there might be a group out there that felt underrepresented today.
I was going to say, so are you allowed to smoke medical marijuana?
Because
most of them are on drugs.
Yeah, the federal jail if I kept home on an LSD trip.
Yeah, no, most of them would be in jail for just, can you imagine being a supremacist or a hater of all human beings and doing drugs?
We were talking on Focus Show, it's hard to imagine David getting God's blessing to go beat up a giant and the land's all his. You know, God's out there going, it's all okay now, just go get it, it's all yours.
Yeah, but
office right here for you.
Yeah, well, we've seen that the office of president has been disrespected, and Donald Trump didn't have a problem going out and chasing the first black American of president. He didn't have any problem that deriding that and denouncing it and you know, just being filthy about his approach. He didn't have any problem with that. And then where were these people at to say, ooh, Donald, you can't do that? So my hat's off to them. But I know.
Well, that politics is funny. You know what one of the first definitions of politics is? You ready?
Okay.
Saying the worst thing about somebody in the nicest way.
Okay, I've heard that.
And it gets more complicated from there.
And then learn how to lie to everybody.
And politics is a derivation of the word police, and police is kind of a conflict resolver or setter. It's crazy out there, man.
Yeah.
It's like that one song, Here Comes the Lawyer, the Banker, and the Cop. When's it ever going to stop, you know? Remember that song? I got close to it.
Well, anyway, we'll hopefully the president solve his problems and we are able to one day lay on the table treason and racism.
That's our president, huh?
I don't know, but and then freedom of speech and the right to exercise. Because, you know, if a person in his workplace, as long as he doesn't use his title or his official title to say what he personally believes, he has a freedom of speech, right?
I don't know that Donald Trump would take a personal interest in the presidency. He's got to be sensitive to the moment, maybe be the minute man on consensus at the time.
Minuteman on defense.
Either he initiates something or recognizes the proper consensus to sign off on.
Well, one of the reasons I shared with what I thought would be a conversation is this. It has nothing. Donald Trump didn't get one way or another. He's just trying to save his own ash. That's all. He smelled the smoke, and he knows that sooner or later, with it collapsing around him, that's all that's happening. So I wouldn't give much credence to anything he say anyway, because he's a desperate man. Found himself now amongst many sinkholes, and he don't know where to put his foot down and with solid ground. He didn't have nothing to stand on. So the next thing you do is go around and agitate people and tell them and pit them against one another. That's what this is about.
Oh, conflict.
No, convict.
Convict.
Get it. Yeah, and it's...
Well, Mr. Cox, I'm going to listen and let you carry your show to another direction before it ends.
All righty.
It's been nice talking to you.
Take care. Okay, thank you.
Hello. Bye.
Well, folks, again, I appreciate you listening, and it's not your normal conversation, listening in, and hope your golf game goes well today, but be careful out there with the vlog, and on a day like today, you should be able to hit that ball solid and straight, or go to the beach and get some suntan. So I'm going to do the same thing. We'll talk to you next week, and I didn't get to the Department of Health because this is some very interesting information, and we're talking about chemicals and all of that that we are not being told about or not being addressed. We've mentioned them a while back, but we'll talk about it later. And if nothing else, when you find your knee, putting yourself on the knee to say a prayer, don't get confused and think that you're protesting. That's all I ask. Take care. We'll see you next week. Aloha.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.